given us a pattern. He's given us a way of life that we should live. And yet, many times, we not only do we let ourselves down, but we see in the lives of so many that they let down that guard. They let down that example and refuse even to walk in the way of Christ. And so I want to encourage you tonight to keep the faith, to continue in the path of righteousness, to walk by faith, not by sight. Just because of all the things that are happening around us are hurtful and are weird and some struggles maybe that we haven't faced before as the generations that are here now, it is something that we will overcome, and it is something that the church will continue to grow through and will continue to make a difference in the world by our love, by our service to others. And so, I think that we should listen when our heart is pulling at us and telling us that things aren't right. It's true. We should listen. But I think also that we should be careful not to become dissatisfied about the same things that the world is dissatisfied about. I think that Christians should have a righteous dissatisfaction. And I guess I could describe it as just a higher plane of dissatisfaction. We need to be looking towards what's most important. Rather than some of the trivial things that are plaguing society and plaguing the world. And I say trivial, and I know that some are very serious. And yet, nothing is as serious as the salvation of a soul in this world. Nothing is more important than reaching one more soul with the gospel. And so our place in this world is to be the hands and feet, to be the ones who speak the gospel so that others can come to Christ also. Our priority must be the spreading of the gospel of Christ. We were told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, you teach the gospel and you baptize them and you teach them some more. You guide them in the way of righteousness. And so this is our calling and this is what we are here to do. We have taken on the name of Christ. And so to allow ourselves to become discouraged or depressed or dissatisfied with the way things are in the world, it's really just unacceptable. We've got to keep our eyes on what is most important. We must keep a heavenly perspective as we recognize the things that are happening around us. So I want to give you three things that I think we should be dissatisfied about. A righteous dissatisfaction that I think will help us to overcome some of the other things that we seem to be dissatisfied about right now. You can turn in your Bible to John chapter 15. We'll start there, and we're going to look at several different teachings of Christ as we go through this. But the first one, I think we should have a righteous dissatisfaction with our assimilation into this world. With our assimilation into this world. Great. Thanks, guys. When we recognize that we have assimilated, it's a step in the right direction. To realize that we've allowed some of the world into the church is when the light first comes on, right? When we realize, wait a second, there are things that should be distinct about the church. There are things that should be distinct about my life as a Christian that would be different from the world. We're called a peculiar people. And yet, when you look around in a community, Christians don't look all that peculiar anymore. Christians have kind of assimilated right into the culture. And, of course, we're blessed to live in an area where the Bible is respected to a great deal still. And yet, it's very easy in that type of environment to be assimilated, to just allow the world to go on and just to accept the world as it is. But our goal in life shouldn't be acceptance by the world. No, we want to be accepted by God. There in John 15 and verse 18, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, I chose you out of this world. Therefore, the world hates you. It shouldn't seem strange to you when others think you're peculiar, when others think that you're strange, when you choose not to participate in some activities, when you choose not to speak in certain ways, when you choose not to be dissatisfied with some of the things of this world, because those things have nothing to do with the spreading of the gospel of Christ. When those things have nothing to do with our mission as Christians to accomplish what Christ has given us to accomplish. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners, as pilgrims. It's the Holy Spirit inspiring Peter. He says, listen, you are sojourners, you are pilgrims. So abstain from fleshly lust that war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. He says, you do right so that they can't say anything about you, so that they can't bring any accusation against you. And when they see your life and how you're living your life, they have to say, yeah, there's something different about them. There's something peculiar. There's something distinct about their lives. They're sojourners. They're pilgrims. They're aliens even. They don't belong here. What a wonderful thing to be said of a Christian. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We choose to walk according to a higher path and to an expectation of a Savior who has given us a very specific mission. He tells us that He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And now He gives us that same mission to go and to teach the gospel. And so when we get on social media and we start talking about the same things everyone else is talking about, rather than staying focused, talking about politics or anything else that somehow might damage my ability to speak to someone about the gospel, it's wrong for me. It is going to build a wall between my ability to help guide someone into the truth. And who is it probably that most needs to be guided into the truth? Probably those people who we're offending with some of the things we like to post about on social media. And some of the things that we like or that we share, we need to be careful and not assimilate into this world. Even those things of this world that we think, well, that's not bad. But is it good? Is it lovely? Is it pure? Is it going to bring someone closer to Christ? Or is it going to make it harder for you then to go to them and talk to them about your relationship with Jesus? God's approval is all that matters. Not this world. Not the extremists. Not even the moderates of this world, but God's approval. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, it tells us He will transform our lowly body that it might... I'm sorry, I started in verse 21. I'm going to go back up to 17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, whose mind is set on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so to get caught up in some of the things that happen in this world, and to allow those things then to cause division among brethren, it's wrong. It is something that is going to keep us. It's going to trip us up. It's going to keep us from accomplishing the mission of Christ. And so let's stay focused. Let's walk by faith, not by sight. And let's keep focused on the way of Christ rather than joining in with the things of this world. Let's invest in each other. Let's invest in each other, because the more we invest in each other, the more we can build up the body of Christ and not assimilate to the world. Instead, we become more and more the family of God. Let's strive to grow closer to our Christian family. Relationships with the world, they're going to leave us dissatisfied. We're in need of a deeper connection, and that's something that God's put in us, hasn't He? He's created us in such a way that we need one another. We're not supposed to live in isolation. We're supposed to live in community. In a togetherness, in a way that we might then build one another up, most importantly in our faith. Most importantly, so that as we build one another up, other people notice. Just like Jesus said in John 13, 34 and 35, they'll know you by your love. By your love for one another. And this is what causes growth in the body. As we love one another, as we serve one another, and together as we serve even those in the world. Let's not assimilate to the world. Let's serve them. Let's teach them. Let's help them. But let's make sure we're growing together as the body of Christ. Secondly, I think that we could be dissatisfied with the... I don't know where to point that thing. Y'all might have to help me back there. We should be dissatisfied with the arrogance that sometimes creeps up in our own hearts. With the arrogance that sometimes we allow to grow in our heart. It's something, isn't it? We escape the world. We come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we obey the gospel. And we look back at our old life in sin, and we say, I'm so glad I don't live that way anymore. I don't participate in those activities anymore. I don't say those things or do those things any longer. And we're in awe of God's grace, of His power of salvation to cleanse us of those past sins. Sometimes it takes us a little while to remember we've been forgiven. And we live in the freedom of Christ. And so at that point, we start to grow in our knowledge, don't we? And at some point, It's different for all of us. But at some point, we start thinking highly of ourselves. We start looking at some of those others who are still living in sin, who are still doing those things that they shouldn't do, and we start thinking, well, why haven't they done what I did? Why won't they be more like me? And somehow, we go from one sinful way to another sinful way, where we start having pride in ourselves rather than recognizing that it is Jesus, that it's all about Jesus, and that it's not about me. Luke 18, verse 9, says that he spoke this parable. Now, listen carefully to who he spoke this parable to. Those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. It's easy. It's easy to slip into that. It's easy to recognize the knowledge that we've gained in the Scriptures. It's easy to start to feel pride about that. When others come and say, hey, will you remind me what this Scripture says? When others come to you and want your advice on things because they know it'll be biblical and godly advice. And somehow, this pride, it creeps in and it starts to deceive us. But we knew that it was going to do that, didn't we? The Scriptures tell us in Jeremiah 17:9, he says that the heart is deceitful above all things. That the heart is deceitful. Our hearts are deceitful. He says, I'm telling this parable, and he's telling it to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He says, two men, verse 10, Luke chapter 18, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you. I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner or unjust or adulterer. I'm not even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, he's standing far off. He wouldn't so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What did Jesus say about these two men? I tell you this. This man, the tax collector, he says, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, rather than the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. It's so important for us to be humble, for us to keep a humility as we instruct others in the way of life. It's so important for us to be humble of heart, to remember, to keep our heart in check, and to make sure that we're walking according to His path, not making up our own path. It's easy to become prideful about our doctrine. For sure, our doctrine is solid. It is beautiful. I love working in the Hispanic ministry over in Russellville. What the people would say as we were teaching, they'd say, this is good doctrine. Yeah, that's their response as we're going through the teaching. That's almost always the response. This is good doctrine. Yeah, they like it because they're seeing it in the Scriptures. They see this is exactly what the Bible says. And it is. It's solid. It's sure. It's certain. But teaching it to others, it seems to be a weakness of ours. Many times we sound arrogant when we go about teaching the gospel, when we go about trying to explain the way of Christ more accurately to those who may already believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but not been taught properly how to walk in the way of Jesus Christ, not to live out an obedient faith. But Christ commands humbleness of heart. He commands us that as we instruct others, that we do so with a humility, that we do so without any arrogance, that we need to pray before we step up to that Bible study. We need to pray before we start speaking to our friends. Father, help me not to have any arrogance in my heart as I say these things. Because I know that it's easy for it to sound that way when one person knows something that another person doesn't. It's just the way of life, isn't it? It's just we're people and that's who we are, and it comes across that way sometimes. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself also, lest you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let's not think that we're something. Let's remember that Christ is something. And that we're just here to point someone else towards Him. We're just one beggar pointing another beggar to the place where they can find some bread. We're just here to help someone else be guided along through the Bible that they might come to an understanding and a commitment that they can make to Christ to live out their lives in humility of heart also. Remember, we're beneficiaries of God's grace, and so now we're called to welcome others into that grace also, to help them to understand it and then to lead them in the way of righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're told there that we're an epistle. We're an epistle of Christ. It's been written by God on your heart for the world to hear. Hey, you and I have a responsibility to share the message of the gospel. Each one of us. We are to follow the command of Christ. And if you aren't having Bible studies with your neighbors, with your family, if you aren't actively pursuing a Bible study, let's just say, you know what? That's something that needs to be done. In the movie Forrest Gump, I'm sure most people have seen Forrest Gump, every time a major change comes along in his life, you know what he's wearing? Blue plaid. Every time. I wore my blue plaid tonight. When there's a major change, something has to be changed. In that movie, you see, he's got his blue plaid on. And so I want to encourage you, put your blue plaid on and set up a Bible study. Put your blue plaid on and find a way to speak to that coworker or to that friend or that family member. It's time to spread the gospel right now. If there was any time where people's hearts are going to be open to the salvation that they desperately need, it's right now. When times like this come, it is an opportunity, a door that is open to you. Now, whether you step up and you're used by God to guide another soul into the way of life or not, it depends on your decision, doesn't it? Because you have free will, but God is counting on you. Because you might be the only Bible that person ever read. You might be the only person who might be able to touch their heart and help them understand the truth of what you have been following and what you have been striving for. Yeah, arrogance, that should frustrate us. We should be dissatisfied with arrogance. It should motivate us to seek humility and then to use our influence to encourage others to submit to the Lord also. Last, I think that we should have a righteous dissatisfaction with apathy towards our mission. With apathy towards our mission. Mark 14, verse 32. Mark 14 and verse 32. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Stay here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled, deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little farther, and he fell on the ground. He prayed that if it was possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." And then he came. He found him sleeping. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Nothing kills a church like apathy. But our default mode seems to be complacency rather than urgency, doesn't it? And it's not just in spiritual things, it's in everything. A complacency seems to come over us where we say, "Well, I've done pretty well. I've gotten this far. I think things will just ride out as it is. I don't see how being more urgent is going to change anything." Somehow we convince ourselves that this is how it should be, and we allow apathy to set in our hearts rather than being dissatisfied with all the things that are going on in the world. How about we get dissatisfied with apathy in the church and we start doing something about it? We start making sure that we're not apathetic and that we encourage others to focus their minds on how they can change this community and this state and this world for Christ. He tells us in Romans 13, verse 11, "Do this. You know the time. It's high time to wake up out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust or strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision." How much provision? No provision "for the flesh to fulfill its lust." It says, quit being dissatisfied with everything that happens in this world. Quit focusing on all the things that seem to take your attention away from your one mission, your one priority, to know Christ and to make Him known. Stop looking away and get focused on the path. Either you're walking by faith or you're walking by sight. And when you're walking away from one thing, you're walking closer to something else. You never leave something without going somewhere else, do you? You always end up somewhere. And if you're not walking by faith, you are walking by sight. And I want to call you back. Don't be apathetic. Don't allow your faith to just somehow go into default mode and say, you know what, I'm just going to let it ride out. I did a search on the internet for retirement. First thing that popped up was in big letters it said, Florida Retirement Living. And the next thing it said was, you deserve the world. How about that? Golf, pools, fitness, social clubs, lifelong learning, live on top of the world, energy efficient homes, a white sandy beach full of seashells to collect. You've heard it before, haven't you? You've seen it. The American dream. Live well, retire, take it easy, go collect some seashells, die in your sleep. The American dream. But someday you're going to stand before a judge. Someday you're going to stand before the King of Kings. When you hold up that seashell collection, it's going to be a problem. That's a problem. Holding up that golf score, it's a problem. Showing him that deer rack, it just doesn't matter. The size of that bass, the great deal you got on that dress, none of it matters. We should have a righteous dissatisfaction with the things of this world and choose rather to focus on what is real and what is right. I want to tell you about Ruby Eliason and Laura Edwards. Ruby was over 80. She was single her whole life. She poured her whole life into one thing, to make Jesus Christ known among the unreached, the poor, and the sick. Laura was a widow. She was a medical doctor. She was also pushing 80 years old and served at Ruby's side in Cameroon, Africa. They'd been there for about 20 years at this point, and they were in the car going from one village to another, serving the needs of those who were sick, who could not find a doctor, who would never be able to afford a doctor. Meeting those needs, but not just meeting their needs, they were also telling them about Jesus. Sitting the children down and telling them the stories of the scriptures, reminding them, teaching them, guiding them into the way of righteousness. They lost control of the car. It crashed. Both of them were killed instantly. Now, I'll tell you that story. And the first thing, when I heard that story, probably when you heard it, was what a tragedy. They were doing so much good. What a tragedy to lose two precious souls. But I want to tell you, that's no tragedy. That's no tragedy at all. In fact, that's the victory. That's exactly what they should have done. They didn't lose their lives. They gave their lives. They didn't just give their lives. They gave themselves in service to the King. They made sure that they were doing what Christ had called them to do, even to the dying minute when they left this earth and entered into glory. I'll tell you what the tragedy is. Seashells on a beach in Florida. That is a tragedy. You have an opportunity. Don't allow yourself to get taken off course because of the things happening around us in the world. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, 'What should I do, since I have no room to store these crops? I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." God calls you a fool. Settling for seashells, golf, retirement, foolish. Not me, God. It's foolish not to remember that you have a soul that has a creator, a Creator who loves you so much that He gave Himself. And now He's calling you to give yourself. You see, that's how a relationship works, right? I don't see many marriages that would work out very good when one person gives themselves but the other one doesn't. This is what God does with us. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then He goes to a cross and He gives Himself as a sacrifice for your sins, for mine, for the whole world, that whosoever would believeth in Him could be saved. Have you been saved? Have you turned your back on the ways of the world and focused your life on Jesus? Have you decided that no longer will you be caught up in the dissatisfaction of the world, but rather you're going to focus on spiritual things? Find a whole new level of dissatisfaction. Find a whole new level of righteousness, a desire to serve God in this world. Don't assimilate. Don't allow arrogance to creep up. And don't let apathy into your heart or into this church. Guard it. Guard it with every bit of your being. Stand up for what is right and speak the truth in love. Let's make sure if you have breath in your body, you still have opportunity to make a difference for the Lord. I don't know what your specific need might be tonight. And I know that you might not have on blue plaid, but it's time for a change. I do know that. It's a time for a change in our churches and in our hearts for us to take the responsibility that we have to serve God in obedient faith. So if you have a need, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing this song.